The Coram Deo Church community is a missional church rooted in historic biblical Christianity and committed to engaging an ever-changing culture. We hope this message spurs you towards spiritual formation and mission and helps you delight in Christ alone. Thanks for listening.
This morning's scripture reading is from John chapter 3, starting in verse 1. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." The word of God for the people of God.
When you received Christ, what happened? I ask because I talk to people frequently who have this experience. They received Christ. They prayed the prayer. They walked the aisle. They raised their hand at the meeting. They made some commitment to Jesus Christ. And yet they are discouraged. Because it seems that deep down inside them, nothing has really happened. Nothing has really changed. There was a period of initial excitement, like there often is with new things, but that wore off after a few months. And in the meantime, they see other Christians who seem to experience a life and a peace and a spiritual vitality that they have never experienced. And they're not sure what's wrong. And they're discouraged and disheartened. If you can relate to that, I'm so glad you're here this morning. The Lord Jesus understands exactly where you are. And he has a word of hope for you this morning. You see, receiving Jesus is wonderful. It's something the Bible tells us to do. Believing in Jesus is critical. But the Bible tells us that something else must also happen to you and in you. The Bible calls it the new birth. And you cannot cause it by your decision. Now, we Americans are an action-oriented people. We like to make things happen. And so this idea of the new birth is perplexing to many people. What do you mean? Something has to happen in me that I can't cause. How's that supposed to work? Let me phrase a question to you. Let me sort of answer your question with a question, and it would go like this. Aren't you here because you want to experience God? See, if you are in control of your own spiritual destiny, If you can create spiritual change by the mere exertion of your will, then what do you need God for? There are dozens of self-help books down at the bookstore. There are hundreds of things you can do to improve yourself, and none of them requires an encounter with the living God. But see, I suspect that you're here today because you're in search of something more. I suspect that you're interested in a kind of change that can't be explained by something you did. You're after something deeper and better and more lasting and more significant than just another recycled version of self-help. You want to know that God has broken into your very existence and changed you. And if that's what you long for, if that's the kind of change you're seeking, then you shouldn't be surprised to hear that something has to happen in you that you can't cause to happen. That's the very thing you long for, is to see God do something in you that's more and bigger than just your decision or your action. That something is called the new birth, being born again. And Jesus tells us about it in John chapter 3. And so we're going to investigate this text this morning. Now, let me tell you what's about to happen as we study John chapter 3 this morning. As we look at this text, it's going to dawn on some of you, perhaps many of you, that you haven't ever been born again. You may have been in church for years. You may have made a decision to accept Christ. You may even be a leader in the church. And yet it may become clear to you this morning that you have never been born again. And if that happens, listen to me, welcome it. Don't be afraid. Don't be fearful. Don't be anxious. Don't be nervous. Don't fret. Don't worry. You are on the verge of a whole new experience of God. And if He brings you to that realization this morning, it's a manifestation and an evidence of His grace to bring you deeper with Him. Back when I was in high school, a movie came out called Weekend at Bernie's. Do you guys remember this film? Some of you? The premise of this film was these two guys went to their bosses, got invited to their boss's beach house, and they showed up and the boss is dead. He's been killed by the mafia. And so the plot of the movie is that to keep themselves alive, to avoid them being killed by the same hitman who killed their boss, they have to pretend like the boss is still alive. And so the whole movie is them, you know, dragging the boss around on the boat and making him wave at people and laying him out in the sunshine like he's suntanning and basically dragging this corpse around for days pretending that he's still alive. A little bit of a morbid plot for a movie. However, here's my point in bringing it up. Without the new birth, listen to me, that's what Christianity is like. Without the new birth, you're dragging around a spiritual corpse, trying to make it do things that it can't do. And that's maddening and it's frustrating. God has something much better for you. God invites you to new birth, new life, resurrection. I want you to open your Bibles to our text for this morning, the Gospel of John chapter 3. In this text, Jesus teaches us about the necessity of the new birth, the nature of the new birth, and the mystery of the new birth. The necessity of the new birth, the nature of the new birth, and the mystery of the new birth. John chapter 3, verse 1. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God. For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." I want you to notice, first of all, that Nicodemus is just like most of us. He's a good man. He's a moral man. He's an intelligent man. And he's a man who believes in Jesus. He says to Jesus, I know that your teachings are true and your miracles are real. This is not an atheist. This is not an agnostic. This is not a skeptic. This is a man who has some belief and affirmation of who Jesus is and what he's taught. And yet, he senses that something is missing. And so he comes to Jesus. And I think he comes by night because he's a little shy. He's a little embarrassed. He in a sense, wants a one-on-one encounter with Jesus where he can flesh out some of his confusion. Jesus responds like this, verse 3. Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God." There it is. There's the necessity of the new birth. Jesus restates it again in verse 7. He says, "You must be born again. It's impossible to see the kingdom of God without being born again." Now, let's think carefully about what Jesus is saying to us here. What is the kingdom of God? Well, the kingdom of God is God's reign, God's rule, God's operation in the world. The opposite of the kingdom of God, if we said, what's the counterpart? What's the opposite to the kingdom of God, the realm in which God reigns and God rules? We would have to say the opposite of that is the kingdom of self. The kingdom where I reign and where I rule and where I am God, I am sovereign, I am the one in charge and in control. The Bible calls that kingdom of self the flesh. It refers to what you can do in your own strength without dependence on God. And here's what you've got to understand the gospel message and to understand the teaching of the Bible. There are two faces to the flesh. There are two ways the flesh manifests itself. There's the irreligious, immoral, ungodly face of the flesh. And there's also the religious, the moral, the scrupulous, upright expression of the flesh. There's a self-powered religiosity that you can manufacture without being born again. Nicodemus is a Pharisee. He is a morally upright, religiously observant, socially minded person. And you can be all of those things without being born again. But you see, that kind of self-powered, self-made, self-dependent religion has no life in it. It has no sense of God to it. And if that's been your experience to this point, man, I hope you're weary of that. I hope there's something in you that hungers for the real thing, real spiritual life. The kingdom of God. So Jesus begins by showing us the necessity of the new birth. He says, unless you are born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. Unless you're born again, you can't experience the power of God, the life of God, the reign of God, the beauty of God. Look at Nicodemus' response in verse 4. Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Now, if Nicodemus means this literally, he's possibly one of the densest people in the Bible, right? I think we need to, and it's possible that he's completely missing it. But listen to me, I think we need to give Nicodemus the benefit of the doubt. He's an intelligent man. The Bible calls him the teacher of Israel. In other words, he's one of their most learned, most wise, most educated leaders. I don't think he's missing the fact that Jesus is using figurative language here. And I think that what he's doing is he's picking up Jesus' metaphor and rolling with it. Rather, what he's saying is this: how can a man be born when he's old? Jesus, I hear what you're saying, and I really want to believe that. But let's be honest, I am who I am. There's a lot of choices and a lot of decisions and a lot of water under the bridge that's gotten me to where I am. Maybe for someone else, Jesus, dramatic spiritual change is possible, but probably not for me. Can you hear those doubts, those voices in your own mind? Well, Jesus answers your skepticism and Nicodemus's by talking about the nature of the new birth. He answers Nicodemus in verse 5. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. In one sense, Jesus here restates what he already said, but also he expands upon it, gives it a little more fleshing out. Now, what does Jesus teach us here about the nature of the new birth? Well, first of all, notice it's a birth. Let's not move too quickly past the metaphor, right? The metaphor is being born again. What did you do to cause your first birth? Nothing. Jesus wants Nicodemus, this very competent, very intelligent man, to realize that the one thing he most needs spiritually, he cannot produce. He must come to the end of himself. God must work. God must move. God must bring about the new birth. There are hundreds of metaphors Jesus could have used. He chose to use the metaphor of birth. Friends, the new birth is something God does. You merely experience it. You come out and start crying and look around for somebody to hold you. That's how spiritual birth works. It is entirely passive on our part. Now, notice, Jesus also speaks here of being born of water and the Spirit. Unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. What in the world does that mean, Jesus? Well, as with most things in the Bible, friends, context is everything. Jesus is speaking with Nicodemus. Nicodemus is one of the most learned scholars in the nation of Israel. He's an expert in the Old Testament, and he would have known immediately what Jesus was talking about. Do you know why? Because Jesus is referring to one of the most famous prophecies in the Old Testament in the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 36. This is a prophecy that the people of Israel knew and memorized and had committed to their minds. This defined their hopes as a people. Look at what it says in Ezekiel chapter 36. This is God speaking through his prophet. He says this to his people: I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your impurities. And from all your idols, I will cleanse you. And I will give you a new heart. and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. Friends, Jesus is showing us that the new birth is a radical cleansing of the deepest part of you. I will wash you clean from all your impurities. I will give you a new heart. I will put my spirit within you. This is the deepest kind of cleansing and transformation you can possibly imagine. All the filthy parts of you, all the dirty parts of you, all the broken parts of you, all the shameful parts of you, cleansed and made new by the grace of God. And notice how this is going to happen. I will put my spirit within you. Back in John 3, Jesus says, that which is born of flesh is flesh, that which is born of spirit is spirit. In other words, he's telling us the nature of the new birth is, it's something the Holy Spirit does. Friends, listen to me. There is a night and day difference between what you can do to clean you and what the Spirit of God can do to clean you. There's a night and day difference between your efforts to transform yourself and the Spirit of God's power to transform you. Complete different thing. God is able to renovate the heart. God is able to transform the will. God is able to renew the mind. God is able to get down into those places of you where you know you can't change you. God can, and He promises to do it by His Spirit. He's not promising just to operate on the outside of you. He's promising to send His very presence to live within you and to change you from the inside out. That's the nature of the new birth. It's radical. It's supernatural. It's a gift of God, and it comes about by His Spirit. So Jesus has taught us the necessity of the new birth. He showed us the nature of the new birth. Let's look finally at the mystery of the new birth. John chapter 3, verse 7. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. The mystery of the new birth is this. You can't see it. You can only see its effects. The new birth is mysterious. It is a supernatural, direct work of God on the soul. You can't see it. You can't measure it. You can't cause it. You can't control it. You can't manipulate it. It is a mysterious, supernatural work of God in the soul. But like the wind, you can see its effects. If I ask one of you in the back, hey, would you go outside and see how windy it is? Right? You don't go out and look for the wind. You look for a tree or a flag. You feel the wind blowing against your face. You maybe see your trash can catapulting down the street like mine did last Monday night in that ridiculous hurricane that we had. You see the effects of the wind. Jesus says that's exactly how it is with the new birth. The Spirit brings it about, and what you see are the effects that it produces. Now, what are those effects? Well, in a sense, there are so many of them. The New Testament is full of them. The New Testament is full of fleshing out for us the effects of the new birth. But let me highlight three. New life, new love, new longing. These are three of the effects of the new birth. These do not cause the new birth. They are effects of the new birth. When the Holy Spirit causes us to be born again by grace, here's what happens. New life, new love, new longings. Here's what I mean. First of all, new life. New life. When you've been born again, you are conscious that you have been born again. You are conscious of the existence of life in your soul that was not there before. You are spiritually alive, and you know that. And not only do you know it, people around you know it. They say things like, man, you're kind of different. Like, we used to go out after work, and you're kind of weird now. You used to laugh at my dirty jokes, and now you don't. Man, something's changed about you. And sometimes that's encouraging to people, and sometimes they resent that. But either way, there's a recognition that something's different. Something's changed. There's new life in you. Now, two caveats to that. Number one, not all births look the same. Those of you who have given birth know that, right? Sometimes they're very short. Sometimes they're very long. No two births look the same. So this is not to say everybody's experience of being born again is exactly the same. Actually, they're radically different. But the one thing that's the same is there's life. And secondly, alive does not mean mature. You can be spiritually alive and tremendously immature. So do not confuse being alive with being a grown-up. You can be a spiritual infant, spiritual toddler, spiritual 10-year-old, spiritual teenager. You might be grown up. The point is, you're alive spiritually. New life. The second effect of the new birth is new love. The Apostle Peter tells us about this in 1 Peter chapter 1. Notice this, read it with me. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." So he's talking about the new birth, being born again by God's grace through Jesus' resurrection. And he goes on to say, "Though you have not seen him," you what? You love him. "And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory." If you've been born again, here's what's true of you. You love Christ. And that love brings with it a joy. A joy that's not dependent on your circumstances, your situation, how things are going at work, how things are going at home, how things are going in your personal life. A joy that's inexpressible and full and present because it's joy in Christ. It's love for Christ. There's new love present in you for the Savior. If you've been born again, the effects are new life, new love, thirdly, new longing, new longing. Remember Ezekiel 36, God promises, "I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules." If you are born again, you have a longing for Christ-likeness, a longing for holiness, a longing to look more like Jesus. And you don't have that longing because you're trying to muster up that longing. It's just there. Because the Spirit lives in you, and the Spirit is pulling you toward conformity to the Lord Jesus. There's an internal compulsion toward holiness. Now, that doesn't mean there's always clear progress toward holiness. What it means is there's an internal pull toward Christ-likeness. Here's one of the clearest ways to tell whether you've experienced the new birth. If inside you there's a pull toward holiness and toward being like Jesus. If the only thing that makes you long for obedience to God is external compulsion, someone told me I should, my church told me I should, my mom told me I should, I want to make so-and-so happy, you know, it's good way to be a member of society. If external compulsion is the only thing pulling you toward obedience to Christ, friends, you have not experienced the new birth. You haven't. If you've experienced a new birth, there is within you a longing to be like Jesus. Now, it's a longing that you can fan into flame. It's a longing that sometimes can grow dim and need to be stoked, but it's there. It's present. There's an internal pull toward holiness and obedience and toward living a life that honors Jesus. New life, new love, new longing. These are the signs of the wind. These are the trees blowing in the wind. These are the effects of the new birth wrought by the Holy Spirit. So Jesus has taught us here in John 3 about the necessity of the new birth, the nature of the new birth, and the mystery of the new birth. So friend, I ask you, have you experienced the new birth? Have you been born again? If you have, then you know it, and you're rejoicing right now at the wonderful work of the Holy Spirit in your life. You're rejoicing, remembering what it felt like to come into spiritual life, or what it feels like now to know the Spirit is at work in you. If you haven't experienced the new birth, now you know, now you understand why your Christian life may be frustrating. You've been trying to learn to walk before you've been born. You've been trying to make progress on a journey that you haven't started. You've been trying to go forward with Christ without beginning. And I pray that you might be moved by the grace of God this morning to not care at all what people think. Because if you're out there and you're realizing, gosh, I haven't been born again, the next thought going through your mind is, what would my spouse think? What would my gospel community people think? What would the pastors think? What would my parents think? What would my family think? If I acknowledge, man, I haven't been born again, who cares? Who cares what people think, friends? This is an encounter with the living God. And I can tell you this, here's what I'll think. Praise the Lord. How awesome of God to bring people to new birth. I can't tell you how many experiences I've had right here in this room, counseling with people, talking with people, praying with people. Oh man, I just experienced the new birth. I mean, I've been in church for years, and all of a sudden, something's happening today. I'm seeing with new clarity what it means to know Jesus Christ and to be awakened with the presence of His Spirit within. I hope you care less what anyone around you thinks. I hope the only thing you're pressed with this morning is, what does God want you to do? What is God inviting you into? I want you to know, after the service this morning, I'll be up here, and Gary and Dusty and a few of our elders and pastors, just be present. If there's things you want to talk about, pray about, think through more, if you want to process your own experience, man, we're just going to be here as long as that takes. I hope you'll take advantage of that. My prayer and my longing this morning is that God would cause many to experience the new birth. Because friends, right, we live in a culture where it's possible to be just like Nicodemus, to believe in Jesus, to have a mental assent to who Jesus is and what Jesus has done, and to have no life. And here's what you need to know. Christianity is not a religion of the intellect. It's a religion of the heart. It's not about whether you know the truths about Jesus. It's about whether you have the life of God within you. Just a few years ago, I had the privilege of being the midwife as the Holy Spirit wrought new birth in a friend of mine. She's here today, in fact. And we had multiple conversations about the gospel. She was processing and wrestling through these same kinds of things. She had grown up in sort of a religious background, and she had an awareness of who Jesus was and what He'd done, but was becoming aware that she hadn't experienced the new birth. So we'd had these conversations, and I remember she asked me, okay, so here's what you're saying. Here's what you're saying, Pastor. I need to be born again. And yet there's nothing I can do to cause myself to be born again. So what am I supposed to do? Like that's a challenging place to be, to know that something needs to happen that I can't cause to happen. What do I do? I sent her this quote from J.I. Packer, which I'm about to read to you, and it's the best answer that I've ever seen to that question. And so I want to leave it with you this morning. It's an extended quote. Here's what J.I. Packer said. By the way, J.I. Packer, a Christian theologian now in his 90s, wise, saintly man. To the question, what does it mean to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? The gospel replies, it means knowing oneself to be a sinner, and Christ to have died for sinners. Abandoning all self-righteousness and self-confidence and casting oneself wholly upon Him for pardon and peace. And to the further question still, how am I to go about believing on Christ and repenting if I have no natural ability to do these things? It answers. The gospel answers. Look to Christ. Speak to Christ. Cry to Christ just as you are. Confess your sin, your impenitence, your unbelief, and cast yourself on His mercy. Ask Him to give you a new heart. Give yourself up here and now to the Christ who alone can make you better. And wait on Him till His light rises in your soul as Scripture promises that it shall do. Friends, let's every one of us give ourselves up to Christ right now, this morning. Will you join me? Father, we thank You for the glorious impossibility of the new birth. Thank You that to be in Your kingdom and to experience Your beauty and Your grace, something must happen to us and in us that we cannot cause. And so we throw ourselves on Your mercy this morning. We acknowledge our inability to lift a finger to change ourselves this morning, and we say, God, we need resurrection. We need new birth. We need to be born of the Spirit. Thank You that You have sent the Holy Spirit to bring about that exact sort of change. God, would You work that in us, among us this morning? Let us not go on living a life, dragging around a spiritual corpse and trying to make it do spiritual things. Let us trade our deadness and our lifelessness and our impotence for Your power and Your grace and the new life that You promise. Bring this about this morning by Your grace, we ask. In Jesus' name. Amen.